Hi there, this is Chelsea with Mellow Moon Mama Podcast, and tonight I have Taylor with me who will be discussing holistic sex with us. Hi, Taylor.
Hi, Chelsea.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing so good.
Good.
Thank you for having me with you.
Absolutely.
I'm so excited.
I'm excited to hear what you have to say. I don't know very much about holistic sex. I mean, I have a general idea, but not something that I've ever...
self-studied.
Yeah, not at all. So,
yeah.
Yay! So what... what piqued your interest on the topic of holistic sex? How did
Oh, gosh. I have actually been interested in the whole realm of sexuality from a pretty young age. I think just being naturally gravitating towards the more taboo subjects my entire life kind of piqued my interest in that. I remember being... in middle school and high school and Barnes and Noble and like the sexuality section reading Kama Sutra books just out of sheer curiosity sometimes. And then as I got older and developed into more mature relationships, I really learned that sexuality is actually a huge part of a relationship, and that can be a really healthy, good thing. And it can either be something that can really improve a relationship or really damage it, depending on how it's viewed by both partners and the effort put into it. Mm-hmm. So I've just kind of made that intentional decision to make it a practice in my life.
Excellent. So for our listeners out there who don't know what holistic sex means, if it's just some sort of hippie foodie type thing, can you give just a brief explanation?
Yeah, definitely.
What that means?
I would say that with anything, if you can view pretty much anything in life holistically or allopathically, and the same as with sex, it's not like this separate box in our life that's this completely different part of our lives. I mean, if we treat our physical wellness and our emotional wellness, like the way that we eat, the way we move, what we put in our body, sex is no different. And so we can see it as this sacred mirror, kind of, is the way I like to look at holistic sexuality. So any problems that might be coming up in a relationship or in your own life, like if you're feeling very stifled in your creativity or in your career or your happiness in general, it's going to show up in the bedroom in one way or another. And the more that we are willing to see that and receive those messages from what happens in the bedroom in our day-to-day life, I think that it's a really beautiful tool. And also just seeing it as a practice, like I said, as anything else, and making that intentional effort to make it better and better and better, because there's no like peak of where it's going to be at its best point. So we can create such deeper relationships if we choose to be conscious with it.
Interesting. I like that. What are a few simple ways that anyone could incorporate the practice of holistic sex into their relationship, their romantic relationship?
Yeah, I think that, well, I think it all actually starts with yourself and your relationship with yourself and healing any taboo around sexuality. And that starts with the way that we talk about sex. And I think in our culture, we've come to this point where we use euphemisms, and it's like this very childlike way of talking about sex. As grown-ass adults, we are very uncomfortable talking about the topic of sex. And so even just being a little bit more conscious and intentional of being comfortable and learning a language around a way to talk about sex. And some people will see that as, I don't know, it depends on the person. Like, some people are very comfortable using very anatomical terms, which I find very awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
And the more I've gotten comfortable as in, as just growing in maturity, and the more I talk to people who are on this kind of same wavelength, just using words that most people would use in a casual conversation, where, and making them not so dirty anymore, like part of my language, but saying like pussy or cock, as opposed to like, well, your penis and like your vagina, it's like so awkward. So it's just making more comfortable conversation in that way, and practicing that with your friends you're talking to, and just opening that conversation. But then aside from language, I would say just reaching out and finding the information that you feel resonates with you. Mm-hmm. And there's not one guru or teacher that's going to fit every need. So I think having a well-rounded source of information mm-hmm. flowing in constantly and then actually doing the work from what you learn and applying it is really the only way to learn anything, is learning but then going out and doing the work, which is super fun with sex. Like, everybody loves having sex, so the more you learn, you just go have fun. Yeah, exactly. No. That's the whole point. It should be a fun, enjoyable process for partners and yourself, even if you're not with a partner. Mm-hmm. Like, exploring that, like, self-love and self-pleasure and learning what you like and learning what you would want from a partner, mm-hmm. first of all, because how can you ask anything of anybody if you don't know yourself what you want?
Absolutely. So
that's probably the first step.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, finding the right teachers and books and podcasts, and there's so much information now.
There is.
Like, with the internet.
it's almost overwhelming. So, like, where do you start?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess just getting rid of those, that conditioning. Like, what you grew up with and what sexuality was, you know, the ideals passed down to you.
Exactly.
That could be the hardest first step.
Yeah, there's a lot of taboo that gets passed down. And, I mean, especially people that were raised in very conservative religious households where you're taught that sex is a very, mm-hmm. very dirty, bad thing, then you're going to internalize that. So mm-hmm. that could even be the first step, is releasing shame. Yeah. Around sex, which is like a true problem for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But being aware of it is just the first step, and then moving on from there and then having fun with it. Mm-hmm. Allowing yourself the freedom to have fun and not, I mean, and then in everything I'm saying, I'm assuming competence of doing things safely and consensual, of course. Yeah. So I feel like that shouldn't even have to be addressed. Yeah, but obviously, being consensual and safe and with somebody that you trust, and then within those boundaries, exploring from there and mm-hmm. having fun. And, you know, then from there, you can kind of push those boundaries and enjoy.
Awesome. All right, moving on. Let's see. Are there any spiritual practices in your life that you incorporate that are supportive of holistic sex?
Yeah, well, I think that you can't have one without the other, mm-hmm. honestly. And so I've been reading a lot more, like, tantra practices, and I'm reading Tantra by Osho right now, and that, most of that book doesn't even talk about sex. It's just the spiritual aspects mm-hmm. of being able to connect to somebody on a deeper level, because I think that the biggest part of a connection with somebody and being able to have a positive sexual experience with somebody is being able to open and let go and trust. And if you don't have that emotional, spiritual connection with somebody, it's really difficult. And I think everybody has experienced that at one time or another, mm-hmm. where you feel like you don't fully trust somebody, or you're uncomfortable, or you just feel like you can't open up to somebody enough, and it's a very subpar experience. So learning how to open in those ways is really important. And so I love, specifically, one of my favorite teachers, David Deida, has a book called Dear Lover and the Way of the Superior Man, and a couple other books, but he really goes into the spiritual aspects of opening to a partner. Mm-hmm. That, and I think just being very connected to nature and yourself, helps you to feel grounded enough and secure enough in yourself to share that with somebody.
Yep.
But, and it's going to be different for everybody. I mean, some people might feel like they're, whatever church they belong to helps them to feel, I mean, I don't even know how to explain it because I don't adhere to that necessarily, but any spiritual practice, I'm sure, can
help you to open up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And the way that you feel comfortable is what's most important, mm-hmm. because if you're doing something just because you feel like you should be,
That's, probably shouldn't be doing
that. Yeah, you probably shouldn't do it.
No, so. Yeah, no obligations.
Yeah, exactly.
What about any physical practices?
Well, you would know this one. Well, I would say yoga is a great one. Being able to learn your body, and the healthier you feel and the more, like...
The more you're moving your energy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess meditation wouldn't quite fall into physical practice, but yeah, like yoga, running, moving, getting your energy moving, getting your blood flowing. If you feel stagnant and crappy...
You're not going to want to...
Yeah, you don't feel sexy and juicy and awesome when you've been sitting around all week and you feel antsy and just not good. So,
absolutely. Dancing.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Man. Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. Dancing is a huge one. If you are having a hard time getting into your body, dancing for just 10 minutes alone in your room.
Yep, in the dark, if you feel weird.
Exactly.
I don't. I'll dance forever, but...
Yeah. Exactly. Feeling, just getting whatever gets you into your body. And some women that could be, or men, if you're listening, like, could be weightlifting with metal, like heavy metal weights could feel really good and empowering, or dancing or yoga or whatever, hiking, running in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just movements in general that gets your body and your blood flowing and moving and yeah, your energy flowing, like you said, is really, really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots of good yoga poses and kundalini kriyas that are designed to get the blood flow going.
Yes. Yeah, get that energy from the base of the spine moving up, which is crazy. I've experienced that during sex before, where I've literally felt that energy from the base of my spine just involuntarily just shoot up through the top of my head. And it's like the most... euphoric ecstasy like feeling, where it's like this heart blasting amazing thing, and if that's not a spiritual experience, like I don't know what is. It's amazing, and it's sometimes will be either intentional or very unexpected, and which just felt for me validifies the realness of that practice. So yeah, kundalini yoga is
powerful. Shit. Yeah, it is, but don't just jump into it unless you
It's really powerful. Yeah. Yeah, it's very powerful.
Absolutely. So we'll talk a little bit about herbs, because are probably one of like five people in my life that are extremely knowledgeable on herbs. Oh my gosh. Oh,
thank you.
What herbs would you recommend to boost libido that are generally safe for most anyone and readily available?
Yeah. Well, I have a couple of favorites, but I will start off by saying that, as with anything, there's never one thing that can fix, it's just going to magically fix a problem. So if you're having like a chronic libido problem, taking one herb every day isn't going to just fix it for you.
Mm-hmm. So there's some other blockage going on in your energies.
Yeah, there could be a problem in your relationship or in your connection to yourself. There could be past traumas being held in your body, and... So it's important to look at those factors as well. But once you're in a place where you're just able to kind of play with things that are either fun to play with or just a tonic to kind of keep libido going, and especially with men, once you hit 30, your testosterone levels start to steadily decline a little bit. And so it's important to keep those levels up. So, for me and for women in general, my favorite herbs are Hushu Wu, which is a Chinese herb, and that is an incredibly fun, just tonic herb I take. It's good for... I hate saying that herbs are good for. Yeah. Like, what are they good for? Like, what am I good for? But it's very stimulating to... pretty much every system in the body. It's just a very good jing tonic, which is, if you're looking to boost libido in Chinese medicine, jing tonics are something to look for. And it's also great for hair and nails, so it's just a great thing to take every day anyway. maca root is another one of my favorites. And that one can, some people are sensitive to it and can get headaches. So I take that in small doses in a powder form in like a smoothie or just a capsule. But my favorite herb ever is Damiana. And yeah, I see you shaking your head. You're like, yeah. And that one is so fun because that's an herb where you don't have to take it every day for 2 weeks to notice the effect of it. You mm-hmm. can take a couple dropperfuls of the tincture, and it's basically what it does, it relaxes the nervous system so you are able to get into that more open, talkative, kind of flowy space with mm-hmm. somebody, but it also increases blood flow directly to the genitals. So it's like you feel it when you take it.
Yeah.
And it's been used as an aphrodisiac for hundreds of years. So, I mean, its Latin name is aphrodisiaca. So it's like, it's called that for a reason. And so I love Damiana. It's a really fun, either in tincture or tea form. It's safe for people. It's very accessible. And then reishi mushroom extract, mm-hmm. A good quality dual extract of reishi mushroom is another one of my favorite just tonic herbs to keep your nervous system at a steady level. Mm-hmm. And it's just a good tonic for your entire body. Basically, the better your body feels, the more you're going to have a high libido.
So, yeah, absolutely.
And then for men specifically, like I said, when men reach that 30 to 35 and their testosterone levels start to drop, pine pollen extract is a really great tonic for men to take, where it's a naturally occurring testosterone in plant. It's a plant testosterone, so pollen is basically like the semen of the pine tree. So it's a very readily available renewable herb where and women can take it too, but the tinctured form of pine pollen is really great for men to take, and I've seen that effect on men where they'll take it and it's like night and day difference. And so that I would say, I mean, there's so many, but those are my favorites. I would, just to kind of keep it simple.
Yeah.
Damiana is super fun. I would recommend that to anyone to try. Some maca root chocolate, raw oysters, strawberries, dark chocolate, all that kind of fun stuff. Just have a whole day of eating everything.
I had a cookbook that was called, I wonder if I still have that, it was called Intercourses, and it was all... It was all menus just planned around, like, lots of aphrodisiacs in it.
I love the name.
God, I wish I would see that.
Oh, I'm going to go buy that right now.
On the front, it was, like, this lady. She's kind of sitting seductively. I think her legs might have been open, and there were, like, rose petals.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Sounds amazing. No. Rose is another one, actually.
Yeah,
just for women to feel that very... with. I mean, that's a whole other conversation of polarity with... sexuality is such an important factor, and roses, I think, as an herb help women embody their femininity in a really healthy way. And it's just such a beautiful herb. It smells so good. Everything about it is like this seductive, soft, velvety, luscious herb. But it also has those like thorns where there's boundaries, so it's a very healthy feminine herb, I would say. So even just powdering rose and putting it in everything. I love it because it's such a gentle, safe herb, and there's wild roses everywhere.
Yeah,
like pretty much anybody can find some wild roses,
right? Even if you're new to foraging, and
it's very easy to identify,
you'll find them.
Exactly.
Pine. Ellie and I had just, we were doing her, what was it, we just finished book 10 of the herb fairies, and it was on pine. They didn't mention anything.
Never
going to
look at pine the same now.
I'm like, oh, man. Oh, that's funny. Oh, boy. Let's see.
Yeah, I would say polarity is a whole, is something that's important to address in the realm of holistic sexuality. And it doesn't really matter what form a relationship takes. It can be two men, two women, man and a woman. It doesn't really matter because polarity is just an energy. It doesn't necessarily mean a woman is going to always carry feminine energy. A woman can carry masculine energy and vice versa. But just for the sake of this conversation, just having masculine and feminine polar energies coming together is what can create so much attraction and force between two people.
Yeah.
And I think intentionally fostering that through the way that you relate to one another and the things that each person does on their own when they're apart is so powerful. And that's another, I mean, like I mentioned before, David Deida talks a lot about that in his books, and that just shifted my entire paradigm about relationships when I learned that, because I think it kind of gave me this permission to be feminine again, because I had perceived that as being very weak.
Yeah,
and so reading that, I'm like, oh, men actually like that. I didn't realize that, because that's how I felt growing up all the time. It's very feminine, but I would try to stifle it because I felt like I was being weak. And then I wasn't being honest with myself and how I actually wanted to show up for somebody else. And once I kind of let that barrier go and decided to just embody being very feminine, which can mean so many different things to different people.
Depends on the person. Absolutely.
Yeah. So for me, it looks like being, when I'm with my partner, very like soft, receptive, open, and allowing their like more dominant masculine traits to come through, and like kind of having that dance between the two of us. And that's when I feel the most fulfilled, because I'm not overpowering somebody and vice versa. It's a very even flow of energy.
Yeah.
And most women I talk to completely agree with that, and where they are most fulfilled with when they are comfortable enough is like the key thing, where they trust their man enough to step up to lead them in certain ways and to be very masculine, where they can relax enough to be feminine. And that's actually very healing, to trust somebody enough to relax into that.
Yeah, because femininity is not a weakness at all.
Exactly.
But it's interesting how it is viewed that way. And why? We're women for a reason.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I love the way it's put, like, we are opposite but equal. Just because there's difference of the energy doesn't mean that one is more powerful than the other. They're just powerful in different ways, and we show up in different ways. And it's really beautiful. I mean, I wouldn't want to be with somebody that was exactly like I am.
No, not at all.
So, yeah, fostering that polarity is really something I try to focus on and maintaining, even if I am trying to be very directive and driven with something in my life, maintaining that femininity in my relationship. Like, you can be this badass CEO, like lawyer, powerful woman in this box of your life, and then in your relationship be able to relax into receptivity. So it's learning just how to balance that and not letting one part of your life overtake everything and vice versa. Which I actually could probably work on that the opposite way, being a little bit more directive and masculine in some ways. And it's just an ever evolving process of learning.
And then depending on your partner too. Maybe you're with a man who has more feminine qualities.
Exactly.
So then how do you balance that?
Yeah. Yes, that's very true. And there are women that are naturally carry a more masculine essence, where they want to be directive and they feel fulfilled by being the one making the majority of the choices. And then they will inevitably attract men that want to be with somebody of that way, that have a more feminine qualities, and they want to be led. And that's amazing too. There's no right or wrong to it, but it's being able to pick out and understand what energy you carry so that you know how to relate to somebody in the right way.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, great. I think that was all the questions I had. We will put some resources in the notes for everyone.
So instead a lot of
rattling
fun.
Off
yeah.
addresses, I have to, oh God.
Yeah, I'll make it easy.
Yeah.
Just click it.
Any last thoughts? For someone,
I was going to say something so dirty.
Go ahead.
No, I won't be that bad. Just have fun.
Yeah. That's very tame.
Yeah.
Just have fun.
Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your partner. Enjoy learning and like have the most fun homework ever. Right? If you choose to find books about sexuality, just do the work and it'll be really fun.
Yeah. And communicate. Yeah.
Yes, that's, communication is key. That is the last, that's a very good point mm-hmm. of the last thought is if you're doing this work with a partner, being on the same page and communicating even through the hard things, mm-hmm. asking for what you need and allowing your partner to do the same yeah. is important.
Absolutely.
Being able to be open to feedback and constructive criticism so that you can grow together is so important mm-hmm. and just being adults about it.
Exactly. Yep. Not letting yeah. any insecurities or embarrassment or anything get in the way because you're with that person.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Good point.
And
super
listening.
Important. Yeah. Yeah. Listen and love the process of it.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for chatting with me.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This was so fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. I hope you all enjoy and find some gems of information and maybe some inspiration to explore and experiment a bit more in your romantic relationship or in your relationship with yourself.
Yes.
Thank you all.